Yeah. It's another Giles Peterson podcast coming out of Brownswood. N4. I've got a gardener outside who's just pointing at a drill. As if to say, I'm about to start drilling your tree down. I don't think it's a very good idea. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I don't think this is the time.
Elan Mailer with me. Just about fitting into the studio.
Yeah, no, I got a good foot up here. By my head.
How tall are you?
6'8", about.
So we've only got one microphone and I'm 5'8", so there's a foot's difference. So we've got like half a foot in between our feet, which has got the microphone somewhere in between us, if you know what I mean. Great show yesterday.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks.
I really enjoyed it. It was really strange for me because I didn't really... First of all, I only live around the corner from the Vortex, which is where you were playing. I've only been there once since they've opened in 1 year, which I feel very guilty about because you have to support these spots,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, as you should. You should feel horrible about yourself right now.
And Ollie, the owner, made me feel horrible at the end of the night. But it was just great to be local and to be in a nice room with a good sound, a very respectful crowd. And suddenly when you went on stage with you on piano, a Fender Rhodes player, double bass and saxophone, I suddenly realised, oh, he hasn't got a drummer. So what's the crowd going to make of that? And it felt like it took them 10 minutes just to kind of realise it wasn't going to be a funky gig.
Right, sure. Yeah, but I mean, it was a beautiful vibe once they sort of settled into it. It was, really respectful and really, people seemed to be really tuned in. And yeah, it felt good up there.
Yeah, sure. First time I heard you was 2 summers ago. Yeah, 2 summers ago. I was in holiday mode, and I was driving through the Swiss German Alps with my family, and we stopped off in a nice little middle of nowhere village called Vals. And thought, oh, this looks like a nice spot to stay for a few days. And went into this nice little hotel and had a nice meal, had a bath, you know, because they've got these incredible spa baths there. And I had a meal. And then afterwards, everyone went to bed apart from me. And I went into the bar for a little late night digestif.
Right.
And you were playing the piano,
right,
on your own, and I was absolutely dumbfounded. And I was like, "Oh, this is really good. Is it because I've had too much dishes?" So I came back the day after, and it was equally good. And so tell us, yeah, what were you doing there?
Yeah, it's sort of the random gig for me. I've been working there, doing summers there for a couple of years now, just totally randomly through somebody's cousin's aunt's sister's hairdresser. Got the gig and keep on expanding there. And it's beautiful there. It's beautiful. Big shout out for Vals, Therm Bass, Peter Zumthor. Yeah, it's gorgeous out there, and they treat their musicians really well, and they don't interfere with the music, which is really rare for that kind of gig where they tell you how loud and how strange you're allowed to get. So it's just a lot of fun to play out there. And as long as I have the right amount of digestifs, I'm good.
But when you have a residency in a place like that, you're there for, what, a week, 2 weeks?
Last time I was there for a month. We did two weeks solo and 2 weeks with my trio.
I mean, there's not much to do apart from have baths,
right,
and go for walks.
Yeah, right. It's very, very mellow. It's really, that's the entire thing. Walking and bathing. And I'm all about it, man. It's and you play a lot, and you work on your music, you know. And like I said, you don't have to play anything specific, so you can really go wherever you're feeling to go. It's a great place to experiment. And I love the sound out there, man. You get out in the mountains, and the sound is gorgeous. I mean, like it's inspiring. It's really fun to do.
So that's Vals in Switzerland. We're going to play the song, which I'm sure you performed that night that I was there. It's certainly a track which I had up on my MySpace page for ages, and people were writing in a lot about it. It was a song called Scheme for Thought. Did you write that there?
I didn't write it in Switzerland.
But did you play it there?
I didn't play it in Switzerland.
That's where I remember it from. Yeah. Anyway, I'm so pleased you're here. Let's listen to this. Oh, no. Hang on. This happened last time, you know. I've got a dodgy CD player. But it's good, because we can just carry on. This is what happens. This is what happens when you come to Brownswood. you get gardeners with pneumatic drills, right. And you get dodgy CD players. But anyway, we're going to play off one CD, and we can have gaps and stuff. It doesn't matter, because this isn't BBC, right?
Right, no.
No, it's loose, right? And anyway, this is called Scheme for Thought. was kind of strange because there was a really great review in Time Out this week of your album. I wasn't really expecting so many reviews.
Yeah, neither was I.
Because, you know, these journalists get bombarded with music all the time, reissues, and there's just a million new bands coming through and so many PR people sort of pumping all these journalists and stuff with material and whatever else. And but it was great to see that some people who've obviously received the record amongst a pile of CDs have put it on and have been kind of bewildered by it a little bit, I think. And he was writing a bit about the fact that everyone's just speeding out all the time, and just to put something like this on was just comfort. It was just great, basically. It was. And you got that review when you actually landed in Heathrow, or
right. It's very exciting. I was walking around with my Time Out in my back pocket everywhere, sort of opening up to my page and scratching, dropping it on the floor in subways, seeing if anyone knows.
It's a really calm record, and I think it really captures a certain atmosphere, which, in fact, a friend of ours who was at the gig yesterday at the Vortex, Julie Allison, she was saying it doesn't sound like an American record.
Yes, that's I've gotten that a lot. I'm not sure I feel like that. I feel pretty good about that, I guess. I don't want to sound like an American, especially when I'm in Europe. But yeah, no, it's sort of a strange thing. I mean, like, there's definitely a New York sound that this thing is not about. But there, you know, there's less of that. It's sort of a dated concept, anyways. You know, there's so much going on in New York. There's so many different things going on that idea that, you know, New York is so, everyone ends up there and everyone leaves from there. So it's so every sound is there. So it's, you know, comes out of that.
One of the strange things whenever you go to New York is, especially when I speak to jazz musicians or just musicians, period, is the fact that there isn't that much work. It's real hard to get gigs, right?
Oh yeah, no, it's very hard to get gigs. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, people treat it like a jumping off point to other places. You go to New York and you meet people and you get your music together and then you go gig somewhere.
So if I'm traveling in New York and I want to sort of go and listen to Elan Mailer, where do I go? Where would be the closest place that I could possibly capture the sort of sound that you give off?
You mean like for that kind of scene? There's some cool spots in Brooklyn that play some pretty cool music. There's a place, Bar Bess, down in Brooklyn, which is it's eclectic and it's a small room, but it's a really nice vibe, and they play some really beautiful stuff. Jenny Scheinman plays there. She's a violinist. She plays with Bill Frisell a lot. And other spots. I mean, there's always interesting. I mean, like, there's a coffee house like right around the corner from me called the Tea Lounge, and it's like a glorified Starbucks, but like there's killing cats playing for free in the corner, and which is great, you know. I mean, like heavy guys. It's also a little bit depressing sometimes, but it's also great, you know, to hear them. But it's sort of depressing to drop a dollar in their tip jar.
You know what? One of the songs that sounded really good yesterday. Actually, first of all, tell me who was playing saxophone. Tell me about the band, actually, because they were the band that performed yesterday at the Vortex and will be performing in your UK shows in the coming week. What's the quartet?
We got Andrew Zimmerman playing tenor sax, and it's Todd Hedrick on the bass and David Moore playing the Fender Rhodes. And they are, yeah, really blessed to have these guys with me and they really, I mean, the sound, everyone keeps on saying, oh, you have this kind of sound, you have that kind of sound, and the sound is like, it's not my sound, it's the band's sound, and it's really, it's the genesis of these guys, that makes us sound non-American.
And you've all known each other for quite a while?
Yeah, for the most part. David is sort of newer to the group. I went to school with Todd and Andrew. David, we sort of auditioned some guys, and David just fit in perfectly, and he's a monster. So it's really fun to play with. He's got amazing ears, which is what you look for when you're playing with two pianos. It's somebody that really listens, you know. So
let's play this one. This was a highlight yesterday. Amazingly, and I've done this so many times before, we didn't record the show yesterday.
Right.
What's that about? But this track really reached some nice peaks yesterday. This is the album version. The album is called Scheme for Thought. That was the track you just heard the title track of, but this is The Pale 45s. Was so good live, and I was sitting next to the boys from Two Banks of Four yesterday, and immediately they were like, we'll do a remix of that. You know, in a way there's a sort of Theo Parrish sort of thing going on there, and it's just made for further experiments in a strange sort of way. I mean, when you make a song like that, the Pearl 45s, how does it start off in your mind and how do you get it? Because obviously it's not something you can just jam out in a rehearsal room,
right? Yeah, well, with that one, with Pale 45s, the initial ideas came like lightning fast, which doesn't usually happen for me. But I mean, like, I had about three or four melodies that just sort of fell on top of each other at the same time, and I was like, oh, we got a tune here. And then it was like, you know, weeks if not months of reworking it and figuring out how this is all going to fit together and sort of the orchestration of it, and then once you have that much, you pick it to the band and see if any other ideas we threw in, like, that whole road section was really David's idea, where the everybody drops out and David has sort of this sort of spacey road solo, with the bowed line on Todd. So some of that stuff we workshop in a band. I mean, it varies so widely in the way you write. I mean, I think I based Head Trick off of a Chopin nocturne. The chord changes on a Chopin nocturne, and because I was learning this nocturne and playing through it, and then all of a sudden the beginning of the tune comes out, and then again you spend forever figuring it out. And then some of the other songs, like the Christina song, I think I wrote in like 20 minutes. You know, it just comes out all of a sudden, which is beautiful if it can happen. You know,
where does classical music meet jazz?
Scheme for Thought, Brownswood Recordings. There you go. I don't know. I mean, like, it's funny that like people are sort of, they call it like, you know, third stream in the 50s and 60s where they're going more classical. But I mean, it always came from, you listen to like Duke Ellington, big band stuff. I mean, that's straight out of Ravel and Debussy and like all those chords and those even like some of the orchestrations it's right out of there. So it's really not that far away. I mean, like, easy answer is jazz swings, but you know, not all jazz swings. then you're in trouble. Thank you. What?
That's what you call vinyl, right? Yeah. That's good.
The Brownsville Basement remix.
That's good. Basement with Elan Mailer, and a couple of tracks that are not featuring Elan,
unfortunately.
It was Peace Peace, Bill Evans, and you just said to me that version was actually meant to be an intro to a song.
Yeah, it was the introduction, and he, from my understanding at least, is he started to play the introduction, and then he started getting into it. And Ben never came in, and then he got PSP, so...
Disturbance going on today here at the Brownsville Basement. That was Everton, the tree cutter, knocking on the door and slipping off. Oliver Nelson, now you wanted to play Style of Moments, didn't you? But we're playing this instead.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
Yeah.
This is a little more... everyone's heard Stolen Moments. I hope everyone's heard Stolen Moments. If you haven't heard Stolen Moments, Oliver Nelson, Blues and the Abstract Truth, you got to go out and listen to it.
Yeah.
But we're assuming you have.
Okay, you've got five albums, five all-time records that you've got to keep in your record collection. The rest is going to have to go to charity. Which ones are you going to save for yourself for listening pleasure forever?
Oh, Jesus, you can't just throw that on me, man. let's see. We got Money Jungle, Duke Ellington, Charles Mingus, Max Roach. It's one of my first piano album that I heard, first piano trio album, and I'll never get sick of that one. What else? Maybe Paul Blais, Open to Love, which is solo Paul Blais stuff, and it's gorgeous, and just dense, so you can listen to it for a while. See what I'm gonna get. Steve Reich, Tehillim, which is like this just gorgeous. Gorgeous, really intricate, crystalline music, sort of set to the sacred Hebrew text, and it's again, something you could delve into, so I won't get bored out there for a while, man. Let's see, what else we get? We get Led Zeppelin 3, because that's the greatest rock album ever made. And I've been a big Zepp fan since I was like 10. And we need one more. What do we got? Maybe, I'll throw Bill Evans on there, because he was my first idol, and I had like 30 of his albums. It'd be like maybe Undercurrent with Jim Hall, which was one of my favorite albums. Just gorgeous duo music. There we go. I can come up with another 5 if you want me to.
That's a nice 5, mate. Yeah, brilliant. It gets better every time I listen to it.
Well, thanks, man.
I remember first hearing it when I was, I heard bits and pieces with you, obviously, for the period that you were sort of getting it together.
Right.
And then we went to your apartment in Brooklyn with Kate, actually.
Right.
And hearing it for the first time there, and it's getting better. It's atmospheric, and it was made quite quickly, the album.
Yeah, we had 3 days in the studio, 2 days of recording, basically. So yeah, it came together beautifully. It just everything clicked when we were in the studio, which was great.
Where did you record it?
We were at East Side Sound in Lower Manhattan, sort of Chinatown, basically. Yeah, Mark Roselli was our engineer, and he's fantastic. He was like a fifth member of the band, like really musical and really chill and really professional and just fun to work with.
And a note to record label and A&R people who might be listening to this: record in New York, it's cheaper. it's a lot cheaper in New York somehow.
Well, yeah, no, that's a scary thought. I mean, depends what you're used to, I guess.
I think it's the state of the dollar. Yeah. One of the great things about doing what I do and being able to work with people like you is to actually get put onto music, to get turned onto music, not just the stuff that I'm getting or used to listening to. And you did a song on the album which was called Elvis Presley Blues, which was a version of a Gillian Welsh song. And I didn't know who she was until I was around your apartment, which is obviously shameful on my part. But tell us a little bit about her, because she's a bit special.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of a big fan, of hers. I mean, I got this one album, that's the album Time the Revelator, was just, I think my sister turned me on to it. I mean, again, it's nothing I heard. I didn't hear it until maybe a year or two ago. It's the kind of album that just got stuck in my head, like, just brutally. It was like, wake up in the morning with Elvis Presley Blues in my head. And she's got a gorgeous voice, and she works with this guy, David Rawlings, for composing. And, yeah, man, they write perfect little tunes. I mean, just really simple, and the lyrics fit the melody perfectly, which is rare. And it's just, really, really melodic. So really fun to play as well.
Let's check it out.
I was thinking that night about Elvis. Did he die? Did he die? I was thinking that night about Elvis. Did he die? Did he die? Just a country boy that combed his hair and put on a shirt his mother made and went on the air, and he shook it like a chorus girl, and he shook it like a Harlem queen, and he shook it like a midnight ramble. Never seen. I was thinking that night about Elvis. Did he die? Did he die? I was thinking that night about Elvis. Did he die? And it took it all out of black and white. Grabbed it one and the other hand and it held on tight. And he shook it like a hurricane. He shook it like to make it break. He shook it like a hole. So let's take. I was thinking that night about Elvis. Did he die? day that he died. I was thinking that night about Elvis, day that he died, day that he died. He was all alone in long decline, thinking how happy John Henry was that he fell down dying when he shook it and it rang like silver. It shook it and it shined like gold. It shook it and it beat that steam drill. Baby, well, bless my soul. Well, bless my soul. It shook it and it beat that steam drill. Baby, well, it bless my soul. What's wrong with me? I was thinking that night about Elvis. Day that he died. Day that he died. I was thinking that night about Elvis. Day that he died. Day that he died. Just a country boy combed his hair, put on a shirt his mother made, and went on the air. And he shook it like a chorus girl. He shook it like a Harlem. It shook it like a midnight ramble, baby, like he never seen, never seen, like he never seen, never seen.
Yeah, brilliant. She went to Berklee College of Music.
Yeah, strangely enough. Strangely enough.
Gillian Welsh and Elvis Presley Blues. Listen, thank you very much. It's been really great.
Oh, man, it's been great.
Vibesing in and all that. And I suppose by the time this is up, the shows might be over. Maybe not. What are your shows in London next week?
Next week, Tuesday, we're playing at the Basement Sessions.
Okay.
And Thursday, Jazz Refreshed. And then Friday at the Foyer in Queen Elizabeth Hall.
Okay, that is the very beginning of September. So if you're listening to this in October, you're a month late.
Right.
But the album is available. It's out on Brownswood. Is it out? It's out.
It's out Tuesday.
They were selling it in the concert hall yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
So sold nine copies yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
That's good. Suckers. They're going to just check this podcast. No, because it's not all on here. Obviously.
Way to sell some records there, Giles.
After this, it's going to be... what kind of record do you want to do next? Are you going to do the same thing? Are you going to add some drums?
Yeah, I'm thinking about mixing up the instrumentation a little bit. I'm really open to what comes, but...
Vocals?
Yeah, we could do something with vocals, maybe with Jose. Mm. Jose James, do something with that. I don't know. I'm down to get out there and try whatever comes, you know.
Great. Well, listen, have a good stay here. I'm looking forward to more shows and a New York show as well.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Possibly in November, and that'll be good. And
beautiful.
The future. Thank you.
All right, man.